site in multi-year trials. This is actually a trial spearheaded by a student who worked in my lab at in Charleston, Zachary Stanzel. He's subsequently moved to Cornell. I'm going to present the findings. Actually, this is a project supported by ARS in-house CRISP project, but also largely supported by a NEFA Specialty Crop Research Initiative grant on developing broccoli as an East Coast vegetable. So key factors have aligned recently. We actually have a project now that's culminating. It's completing 5 years. And we initially set out on this due to the fact that we saw key factors aligning for broccoli as an East Coast crop. First, there were technology breakthroughs, and we felt there was germplasm better adapted to the East coming online, mostly able to produce good quality heads in our environments, which are somewhat less predictable than conventional Western environments. Other things at the time, especially where transportation costs were skyrocketing, that's lessened somewhat at the present, but certainly water availability in the West has become very critical, and this will certainly impact broccoli. Consumption is still increasing, so we're looking at the possibility of capitalizing on the fact that this is a vegetable where there is an increase in consumption and a need for increased production. And then things like social factors, including local food interests and life cycle assessment, have also become important issues. A large part of this project is setting up a trialing system. And we've tried to set this up somewhat as a model system for a crop that we might move into the East, where many vegetables we don't have a historical context for, like regional trials. And so we set up a system where we call phase one, and that's a gateway into the system. And this usually includes a relatively large number. All entries are hybrids. This includes entries from private seed companies as well as public programs. These are tested at four primary sites, two trials, either a stress and a non-stress. Hybrids that perform well in that go to a phase two. So we reduce the number by a third or less. And these actually stay at the same, tested at the same sites, but we increase the number of plantings, so across the growing season, and then definitely getting into very stressful periods, especially hot periods. And then phase three is where we reduce the number down to a very small, relatively small number of elite hybrids, where we do on-farm large strip trials, few entries, limited replication. And this is actually a stage. Previously, we're mainly looking at quality, and when we get to phase three, that's when we really start to look at yield. So the green circles are our primary test sites where we do phase one and phase two. That's in Maine, in Geneva, New York, in the mountains of North Carolina, and then in the coastal area of South Carolina. Now, from there, we spread out to some mountain areas in Piedmont and Virginia for phase three, and then also into northern Florida for phase three. And that's now evolved to a pretty good system. Again, we're at the end of this. So one of the primary things we do in the first two phases is it's largely quality. We tried to create a system where we trained all of our raters in the same procedure to evaluate broccoli heads at maturity. And we have a variety of traits, and we tried to keep it simple. So we rate on a 1 to 5 scale, head extension, plot uniformity, color, dome, head firmness, head uniformity and smoothness, bead size, bead uniformity, holding ability, and overall quality, which is largely a very subjective rating, but it's kind of based on what you see in all these other traits. And all of these are on a 1 to 5 scale, as I said, with 5 being the very best and 1 being the poorest. And we supplied everyone, we created a sheet that you would carry with you into the field by which you'd base your ratings. That this sheet's not all, but so we had initial training, and then we continued that training throughout the process with the goal that everyone would be rating the same things, and that that we would have a fairly good uniformity across these many different locations, many different people doing these ratings. But there's still somewhat uncertainty, and so you go into a plot, and we would evaluate a plot of approximately 20 plants per plot in these replicated trials, and you would look at the plot at a point where about 50 to 75% of the heads have reached a 4 to 5 inch diameter. We call it that crown cut stage, and then you would evaluate that those heads in that plot, trying to take an average of the plot, and so you get a variation in quality, and everyone would do their assessments, and this can range from, this would be an example of a very poor quality head, everything that can go wrong with broccoli has pretty much gone wrong with something like this. So this would be a very low rating. At the first one I showed you, probably very seldom do we get fives, but ones are more common, I would say. So overall quality, one of the things, this is what we tended to initially, we're taking all this data, but initially when we started advancing things to the next phases, we tended to focus on that overall quality. Was that one good rating? But it's very, very subjective. It's likely prone to variation from rater to rater. We know that. It's originally, but it was originally our primary criteria for advancing hybrids to the next phase. But we started as we, about in the middle of this, we started asking, why not incorporate all the data into what I would call a quality index for evaluating heads? So we've got all these individual data points. Could we use them in a collective fashion to give a rating, which we would hope would probably be more normally distributed, and which we might have less rater to rater variation? So what we did in 2014, we have these large trials available that we're operating for the project. So we, in 2014, we run two phase two trials in the spring. So what we call optimal, it's an early March planting, and then a trial two is stressed, planted late in March. We had 39 genotypes, three replications per trial, and what we did was three of individuals working on my program all went out and rated the same plots independently of one another. And all trained, and they're very inexperienced. One's a long-term technician that's worked for me, I'll call Rater A. B is an intermediate but well-trained individual, worked several years on broccoli. And then Rater C was trained almost very quickly before these trials went in. They were new on the project, and we trained them how to rate. So if you just take raw scores, so they went in and they rated both these trials. If you just look at one, the overall raw data, you can see that among the three raters, one, A, B, C, you get sort of the same collection of raw scores for overall quality. But this doesn't tell you whether one is related to the same or not. But it looks like they're coming up about the same number of one ratings, twos, threes, fours, and as you can see, again, very few fives. And you look at something like head uniformity. Again, everything's rated on 1 to 5. A little woggier, but generally the picture is not so different. Again, much fewer fives than the other ratings. So the perfect broccoli is a little more elusive, you might say. And so one of the things we were interested in that first year is relative importance. We did what we call a relative importance analysis, a regression analysis, where we're trying to explain overall quality in terms of other traits via linear modeling. And so you decompose, the model involves a decomposition where it indicates non-negative contributions to variance, and it shows how variation in other traits is associated with variations that we got in overall quality. So what happens with rater A, B, and C is actually the top two traits that seem to be highly associated with overall quality are uniformity of shape, that's how smooth that head is, and bead uniformity, or do you have nice sized beads that are uniform across the head. So that's actually what we would hope to see. That's what we always thought, but this verified that was what went well into the, and then the next three traits are the same for each individual, and one of them is a surprise holding ability. But head shape, how domed is it? And then the head color, you know, is it how green or how yellow? These are sort of logically sort of what you'd expect for the next three. And that was true for all three raiders. There's a little bit of variation in which one's more important than the other, but they appear to, we still got the top five of all raiders. So there was somewhat agreement on that. So we took all of the data together, and what we try to do is say, how important, let's give a weight to the individual component that's related to overall quality, and put it on a scale of 0 to 1. And so uniformity shape gets the most heavy weighting, bead uniformity gets next, head color next, holing ability, and then head shape, and then on down the line. So what you come up with, if you look at number 4 on the bottom here, these are the weights that you would give to the individual components. And so you could take each plot reading for each of those, and you can come up with a relative importance rating, which is now based on all the traits. And in this case, we ignore overall quality, and we look only at the components. And we compare that to a situation where we just look at the overall quality rating, and there's another where we look at just the trait average. Let's say we treat every trait equally. So everyone, and we did that somewhat at the beginning also. We just gave everything equal weight. And then another one possibility is another way to create an index is that you intrinsically decide what are the most important traits. So here we still include the overall quality, but we weight head color high, we rate uniformity of shape high, and bead uniformity, and then the others sort of based on what we intrinsically thought were most important at the outset. And so then now you can compare these indexes to see which one is giving you the most agreement among raters. And that's what we're really focused on here. So in 2015, we had the same kind of trials going on. And in this case, though, again, an optimal early March planning, a stressed late March. So these, in all cases, these plots are coming to maturity in late April, throughout May, almost to the 1st of June. And so there's a variation in maturity, but you're rating the plots based on when they come to that important 4 to 5 inch stage. We had the most entries into our trial, so the phase one was pretty large this year. We actually had 48 genotypes. And again, each of these trials is replicated 3 times. So there's a total of 144 observations in each trial for each rater. It's quite a few observations. And then again, we had rater A, B, and C. Now, our most experienced technician was out with surgery, so I had to become rater A this year. So we did change a rater, but we've worked together a long time and probably are most similar in our ratings. So we're looking at basically what we want to do is look at the ratings and which of these scoring systems is giving us what we call a inter-class correlation. So what we're doing is we're looking at the comparison of ratings among the raters and then compared to the overall variation in ratings. So if you have a high inter-class correlation, this is a situation where raters tend to agree, so they look at the same things and they tend to cluster around the same kind of rating. If you have a low inter-class correlation, that would be where people are looking at the same thing, but they're looking at it somewhat differently, and you're not clustering together. So the higher the number, closer to one, the more your raters are in agreement with one another. So if you look at, these are the methods, overall quality, the average weighting, the weight which we gave intrinsically due to our knowledge, and then the relative importance rating. And what you see with both of the individual plannings is that we got the best agreement among raters using this index, and it was significantly better, actually, than all other methods. With the overall quality, actually gave us our lowest score of 0.71 and 0.67 compared to the other methods, but clearly the relative importance index gave us a better agreement among raters. So we propose that this is a logical method going forward that we can use to compare across all these locations and use this as a means to predict to pick our best hybrids. This here is interesting because it's a relative importance. This was based on only the top three, most important traits. If you boil it down to the top, actually top four, you actually get a very similar rating, ignoring all others. And I'm going to stop there.